Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Carl's Cavern. I'm here today with Doc. Hopefully, Chrissy will be joining us, and we may get a couple of call-ins. Today, in honor of Women's Month, we're doing our second tavern on the importance of women, and we're going to be looking at the LGBT women of history and pop culture and such. There was a reason I started this, because when we did the music, female music ones last week, and by the way, Block Talk, we won our show, right, Doc?
You bet your ass. Just to give everybody a little bit of a reminder of what's been happening with Blog Talk before we go on to the show, Blog Talk has successfully lost a grand total of three of our shows. This is a massive thing throughout their system. There are hundreds of other podcasters who have lost like weeks and months worth. So we kind of made out like a bandit, but we're still trying to get back the music show, which was absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to keep pounding them with emails.
Thank you for that, Doc.
with proper emails and, of course, respectful manners to get that episode back so we can get that up and ready for everybody to listen to once again. So continue on.
Okay. So you know, one of the artists I mentioned was Janis Ian, and her music was very important to me. I grew up with a physical disability, and I lived in this town called Bradford, Pennsylvania, and Doc knows of it because he's basically in the same area up in Perry, New York. Bradford is right on the Pennsylvania-New York border, and let's just say it's a little backwards, maybe, I'm trying to be as nice as possible. And because of being different, I got a lot of crap, and I was in high school there. This was the time I was in high school, between the Buttons came out in 73, and I so understood her message in that album that I immediately fell in love with her and wanted to marry her. Well, of course, years later, turns out that Janis is a lesbian, and for some reason throughout my life, I have always sort of collected lesbians over the years. And then again, when I got to New York, working where I was and knowing people that I did, I was working at Carl Fisher in the band choral and orchestra department. About 60% of our clientele was gay. And so I became very much a LGBT advocate and ally. And so I thought today we would talk about women, gay women who have changed our life. So I'm going to be focusing more on the historical figures. So I thought, you know, Chrissy was going to be here and talk about some people, but you have some folks, don't you, Doc? Like someone we would all know?
Yes, I do, actually. Did you want me to talk about one of them now or later?
Yes, absolutely. I just gave you an open door. Go for it.
Sorry, I'm not exactly in 100% good condition, so I am feeling kind of off. So if I kind of go, I do apologize on that, for that. So when I was in college, not very far back, around 1998 to 2001, that's my first episode of college. There were a lot of my friends were into like different types of music. I was still in like the death metal, the black metal, like raw stuff. But I kept on hearing about this woman by the name of Ani DeFranco. And I was very unsure, what type of music it was. So she kind of music. She heard a lot of her songs themed social inequalities, homophobia, racism, definitely lots about reproductive rights and political, different political stances. I'm not a very political person, so I really didn't dig her music very much, but she was extremely talented. And I could see why college kids in my day were like, yeah, I'm DeFranco, she kicks ass, which she does. And, you know, in college, it's all about mind expansion and getting a rebellious side out. Me, my rebellious side was dirt bikes, getting in trouble, doing all sorts of crazy, crazy stuff. But then there's a whole set of my friends that were into the whole, you know, stand up for rights and politics and everything. And, you know, that's where the difference between me and them was. But that, not only the difference because we were friends, but still, it's like, I will always remember everybody just going ranting right about how cool she was. And she's definitely a very, very cool person. Her music isn't exactly, like I said, like my type, but it's definitely good for somebody to be interested. That is for sure.
Well, good, good. I know the name. That's all I can say. Now, one thing before I start, Doc, you have the phone number to call in, don't you?
104 Good Buddy. That is, I'm just giving the wrong number. The number is, this is for any guest to call in. It's 657-383-0397.
So, yeah, keep that handy. We'll be talking about that. But the one thing is, I mentioned that I'm sorry if it's two males here talking. We're not trying to mansplain. That's why we're hoping that we get some female callers in. So please, please give us a call. I'm going to be focusing in on some older names you may not know from years past. And the first person I want to talk about tonight is Barbara Gittings. She was someone that I had heard about, particularly when I was in New York in the 80s. So she was an American activist for LGBT equality. In the 50s, she organized the New York chapter of the Daughters of Bilitis, DOB, from 58 to 63, which was one of the first nationwide gay organizations. The main thing she did, or one of the main things she did, is she was part of the movement to get the American Psychiatric Association to drop homosexuality as a mental illness in 1972. And just for that, you know, she should be remembered. She was also part of the American Library Association and also basically organized there the first Gay and Lesbian Alliance Gay and Lesbian Alliance in the American Library Association. And she also, you know, there was a lot of work she did with the Mattachine Society. But the one thing she did more than anything else, you know, is that she was one of the first voices out there, particularly female, that decried the demonization of being gay. And for that alone, she should be remembered. Just an amazing woman. Unfortunately, I never did get to meet her, but she was involved in several protests. And just really a fine spokesperson for the LGBT community. So there we go. That would be my first one. And I just got a text from Chrissy. She should be calling in here momentarily.
All right, Groovy. Hello, Chrissy. Hello.
Hello. Auntie Chrissy is here. I apologize for tardiness.
Good to have you.
I was in the middle of some very tender ribs and a family situation that I am now on the show. I'm gracing you with my presence. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's nice to have you. Chrissy is, well, I'll let you explain, Chrissy.
Are you talking about my perspective on this?
Well, not only perspective, just what's happening with you, more or less.
Well, that's what I mean. Okay. Yeah, where I'm coming from. This is why I was invited to this show, because of the Legionnaires. I'm the one that has sort of a personal view on this. Okay. Recently in my life, through a bizarre chain of events, I've had someone point out to me my own gender fluidity, which in retrospect was bloody fucking obvious. But I've embraced that. I've done some studying up, and I'm like, well, holy shit, I've been a member of the rainbow community for a long time and had no idea. So I'm actually in the process of learning about all of this, and my perspective is very different. My whole paradigm has shifted. And the long and short of it is, here I am as the closest thing to an insider viewpoint we have on this in the Legion.
Well, listen, that's exactly why you're here, to say the least.
Yeah, we figured out my ratio is probably roughly 60% female to 40% male, something like that. I definitely vastly prefer my female side. And one of the things I learned, and I think it's an appropriate tangent in the context of this the topic. Typically, the term transgender in most people's minds means very specifically people that are undergoing the physical, you know, actually that. Can more broadly be interpreted as anybody whose gender is not binary. Now, I'm cautious about that, because I know there is probably some controversy on the application of that term. So I stick with gender fluid or gender queer.
Okay.
Which are general terms for non-binary.
Right. And that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. I know back in the day, we would call them transsexuals, which is not, of course, kosher at this point. But I knew a lot of people along that way.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Right.
No. You go ahead.
No longer PC. It was exactly. Yeah, it did. Right. Even though that's like the best song in the movie, but that's okay.
Okay. So you weren't here to begin, Chrissy. We talked about Anta Franco, who was a singer and activist, and I just brought up Barbara Giddings. So who do you have as a very famous LGBT female that you'd like to talk about?
Well, the ones that I've come up with, and bear in mind, I have to preface this by saying that, well, I've for a long time had a sympathy for the LGBTQ community. Even oddly, when I was a fundamentalist Christian, I had an interesting compassion and sympathy for these things. So I think maybe underneath it all, I was like a good person despite my upbringing. I can't really speak to having any heroes in this, but I can talk to you about the people that have left an impression on me. And the one that comes to mind the foremost is probably the least famous in mainstream terms. But I have to go with Tammy Bruce, because as some people know, I used to identify as a conservative until I realized that I was not a conservative. I just thought I was. And we had a little brain scrubbing and dealt with that. But I was impressed by Tammy Bruce because, as we all know, either side of the political fence, which should be a spectrum and not a fence, but unfortunately we have a fence right now and a wall, if Trump has anything to say about it, we tend to have this dichotomy. You're either all the way over here, or you're all the way over here, and typically PC is a left wing thing, quote unquote, and anti PC is a right wing thing. Well, Tammy Bruce recognized that while she is a progressive, while she is a lesbian, that doesn't mean that everything on her side of the fence is correct or is rightly done. That people run to extremes, and she wrote a book called The Thought Police, which was hypercritical of her own side of the political spectrum. She pointed out case after case after case out of hypocritical thought policing, a necessary PC. Now, see, I used to be one of these fuck PC. It's all bullshit. Say what you want. Now I'm realizing there is a balance to be struck. There is sensitivity must be kept in mind, but at the same time, we shouldn't go to any Orwellian extremes. And she recognized there were some Orwellian extremes happening in the far left. And so she wrote this book. And to illustrate what a nonpartisan concept this was, Dr. Laura wrote the introduction to the book. And we know Dr. Laura is fairly conservative. But she wrote the introduction to Tammy Bruce's book about PC, which, of course, Tammy Bruce ended up in a tight position with this because she was at odds with a lot of powerful and prominent people on the left who had gone too far with this, you know, what boils down to censorship. And so I was really impressed by her for not just towing a party line.
Right.
And that really stood out to me. And I think because I encountered her as a conservative, I think that made it even more impressive. I mean, come on, I mean, you know, I was a conservative, and but yet I was like, wow, this Tammy Bruce person is great. Now, I should probably say that by conservative, I meant more of a libertarian than a Republican, but still, you know, it overcame the irrational bias I was functioning under at the time enough to punch me right in the chest, and so I've never forgotten it. I've read that book twice, as a matter of fact.
Well, you know, that's something that I can definitely appreciate because with my, you know, with my background in that, I understood a lot of the angst that was happening, you know, both with the LGBTQ community and also the Black community.
Right.
And I understood that they were running
bigotry.
That's the same thing that I was, you know,
right.
I mean, because I was physically handicapped. And so, you know, you understand that. You also understand that language can hurt, but you also don't want
right.
to, I want to take a look at that language within context. And that's what Tammy Bruce did.
Exactly, and that's what a lot of people fail to do. In fact, I just had a similar discussion, granted in a different context. We were talking about how some people automatically just have a knee-jerk response to graphic material in cinema, as opposed to taking a step back and saying, well, hold on, you know, as Ebert said, yeah, it's not what a movie is about, it's how it's about it. Because I've seen some very sexual and violent films that were pretty artless, offensive, useless pieces of shit, and I've seen some very graphic, sexual, violent films that were brilliant pieces of art. It's all about context. And the same thing applies to socio-political ideas. It's all about context. You know, for example, if I walked up to a Black person and said the N-word, I would be a piece of shit. However, there are movies and there are other works of art that have employed that same thing, but the context is different. There's a point being made.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And it takes critical thinking. And in our polarized, especially in our polarized society now, critical thinking is on the wane. Everyone's having a very knee-jerk reaction. It's very difficult to pick a position that's not on one of the ends because you're going to get flack at this point. You know.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. This is true. That was a good choice, Chrissy. That was a really good choice.
Thank you.
And so we'll kick it back to Doc.
Yes, hello. I'm still here. Yes, actually, I'm going to go for another more modern woman. I would have to say Ellen DeGeneres.
Damn, you stole one of mine.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I'll let you take over. Seriously, Chrissy, go for it. You can take over.
No, please. No, keep going. I'm just – no, please, go.
Okay. Well, I really used to like Ellen's show back in the day, and I remember specifically watching the episode where she came out to everybody in the audience and just the silence that happened for about 20 seconds maybe, and the whole – and just like the media exploded that when she
right.
was lesbian.
It was the silence before the
and
storm. It went from that to this unending furor.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, me being in college at the time, I've been in college multiple decades, let's put it that way. Multiple epochs. And all of us college students were like, yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. It's a pleasure. Well, society as a whole, as a mass, was just going ballistic over this. Like, I can't believe this. It's horrifying. Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, fast forward to where we are now, and she's still one of the most popular talk show hosts around. She's a wonderful person. And, you know, she's been in a lot of movies. She's been in the Finding Nemo flicks as a wonderful character. I don't remember her name, her character's name in those movies. But
Dory.
The way that she has gone about her career and, you know, coming out as a lesbian it's been a thing of beauty, because she has always been so civil and so kind. No matter what has been said to her, she's always been professional and a good person in replying to those comments. And
she's a talented individual.
Okay.
That's what it boils down to. Who cares what she does with her pussy? Why does it matter?
Yeah.
Except that it matters in the terms of the cultural context we have to push, but why does it matter? She's talented. In fact, she's one of the classic entertainers that we don't see a lot of anymore. She fits in the same category as Johnny Carson, as Dean Martin, as Carol Burnett, Vicki Lawrence. Entertainers. They weren't an actor or a singer or comedian. They're entertainers. They are multi-talented, and they're just good. And I have the balls to put her in that category with Conan O'Brien and Johnny Carson, those people. I put her above Jay fucking Leno any day. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
She can sing, she can dance, she can do a lot of things. Is she a musician by any chance? I don't know.
Is she what?
Not,
I don't know. I do know she can walk the hell out of the tooth, though.
What's that?
I do know that she can rock the hell out of a suit, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She
does.
And she's a great dancer, too. So she is so talented, and I would love to meet her in real life. I really, really would. She just seems like such an awesome person.
She would be an enjoyable person to just sit around and talk to. She's intelligent, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like that, because not everybody in entertainment can say that.
No, the whole thing with Ellen, to me, is you nailed it. She is an entertainer. She's one of those people that does go back to the Johnny Carson style. And you see, by doing that, and I think it was smart by her, and she made this conscious decision, that Johnny Carson style, particularly at the time and even now, is like a comfort zone for people. And so if she makes people comfortable, then her sexuality doesn't matter. And it doesn't come up, because people are just happy to be with her.
I remember back when, I don't remember necessarily the specific episode where she came out, but I remember after that had happened. And I was hanging out with a friend of mine with some of his extended family, and they were some country ass motherfuckers. No offense to country people. Half my side of the family is country people. They're some very nice people, but these, point being. And I remember hearing somebody say a disparaging comment about Ellen, because Ellen was on the TV show. You know, they made some whatever, you know. And my friend later commended me for keeping my fucking mouth shut and not going off at his family's house, whatever, that's fine. But I remember how much controversy that stirred, and it's interesting, because it says a lot that we're not there yet, obviously, but gay is fairly normalized now. There are some surprisingly, quote-unquote, conservative people, and I don't mean in a political sense, just generally, you know, more normal people, they're like, they don't give a shit. Like, I've been presenting very androgynous, some might say very femme, for a while now, and I have not had a single person say shit to me, and I live in the South. Now, I know most people are assuming I'm just gay, quote-unquote. Now, the complicated thing there is, yeah, I'm gay if you think of me as a lesbian in a man's body. In that case, I'm queer as shit. But point being, it's normalized now. And part of the reason it's normalized is because of people like Ellen. She had the balls to risk career suicide by going in front of the camera on mainstream television in, what, the 90s?
Yes.
And
yep.
saying, I enjoy a vagina. Which, of course, is an oversimplification. But, you know, she stood up on primetime national television and said, I do not fit your bell curve norm on the definition of gender or sexuality. So, you know, where would we be without her? I mean, how could she not be one of the most just influential lesbians and feminists in the country? Maybe the world. I don't know.
And this is true. And I think part of that is because of the nationwide audience. And the effect. Now, I'm gonna take over here, and I'm gonna talk about somebody who is also an entertainer. Okay, and I just lost it. here we go. It happens. I hit the wrong button or something. Okay. So, have you ever heard of Tallulah Bankhead?
Yo, dude, she was in Die Die My Darling, one of my favorite classic gothic thrillers. She's awesome. She quote called herself a high Anglican agnostic, I believe, or high Episcopalian agnostic. Yes, Tula Bankhead is great. She's right up there with Betty Davis. Ooh,
yeah,
I like her.
So I'm going to give you a couple of quotes here first. Okay, now the thing is, at the time, she was, quote, closeted but wasn't.
Like Rock Hudson?
Well, even she was much more open about it than Rock Hudson. They just didn't want people to know. Now, remember, this is the 30s. So you know, you didn't have YouTube. You didn't have all this publicity and that sort of thing. And so, you know, you could still keep it quiet. But listen to these quotes, because I love Tallulah Bankhead because she is the LGTB equivalent to Mae West, who you could also argue is LGTB.
Right.
Here you go. If I had my life to live again, I'd make the same mistakes only sooner.
That's a Tallulah Bankhead quote for sure.
Okay, I'm as pure as the driven slush.
You know what that makes you think of, Carl?
What?
You know what that makes me think of?
What?
There's a line from the Kim Carnes song, Betty Davis Eyes. She's pure as New York snow.
Yep. Yep. I'll give you a couple more. I read Shakespeare in the Bible and I can shoot dice. That's what I call a liberal education.
Oh, she was a card.
Oh, man. It's the good girls that keep diaries. The bad girls never have the damn time.
Well, that's a Betty and Veronica dichotomy if I ever heard it.
Right. Or there's a rule I recommend. Never practice two vices at once. I forget. That's all they have here, but she finished that up with, you never master either. That's it.
Wow. That's great.
Okay,
yeah,
thing about her, you know, it's not only personality. Let's just talk about the movies she was in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, why are you not doing this for me?
Because technology is the Antichrist.
Yes, this is true.
Pray to the Luddite God. My dear.
But she was in Lifeboat. She was in so many films. A Royal Scandal. Tarnished Lady. So many films in the 30s and 40s. And then, of course,
Die, Die, My
Darling.
Did they make
a prequel
of Silver Lady?
Yes.
Of course, Die, Die, My Darling, because what a brilliant movie that was. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a Hammer film that wasn't a Hammer film.
No,
it
was
a Hammer
film. That wasn't a Hammer film.
Was it Hammer?
You're absolutely right.
Oh,
it was co-produced by Hammer.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Because, I mean, it's right down that alley. Because, you know, Hammer did all the Dracula and all that stuff, but they have, like, their whole little, like, gothic thriller thing going on, too. But, that, you know, that's just, to me, in my mind, that fits into the whole whatever happened to Baby Jane general category of, like, psycho
absolutely.
Old lady gothic thriller
Hagsploitation, as they like to call it, quote.
What, Hagsploitation? Okay, that's beautiful. I'm glad I know that word now. I'm a happy human being. Thank you, Carl.
You're welcome, Chrissy. Not a problem.
You have made this girl very happy.
At least there's one girl I've made happy over my lifetime. Oh, good God. Never mind.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for making it weird, Carl.
You're welcome. That's what I do.
Yes, it is, darling.
But a fantastic actress, and also one of those actresses back then, much like Hedy Lamarr and Garbo, that just oozed sexuality and didn't care, you know, what, you know, or who they enticed, and of course Tallulah was bisexual, with men and women. All throughout her lifetime.
That's what bisexual means, Carl.
Yes, this is true. Well, you know, you have omnisexual, too, nowadays. I think they
know. I'm just being a cunt. It's okay.
Well, but she is someone I've always loved and always appreciated. So I wanted to give a shout-out to Tallulah Bankhead because before Alan... With people like Tallulah that waved the flag.
Man, you made my night bringing Tallulah Bankhead up. That was just, like, you seriously made my night. That was a nail in the coffin of this being a good night.
Oh, good. I'm glad. All right, it's your turn, Chrissy.
Okay, well, again, this is going to be one of those, I remember her, she stood out, et cetera, et cetera. There is an actress... that she got a lot of TV time in the 80s, but she got some movie time too. Famous lesbian. I'm not going to throw the immediately obvious thing at you. I'm going to throw something else at you. I know Carl will jump on this in about 2 seconds. She was a co-star in one of Martin Scorsese's lesser known but pretty fucking brilliant films. Had Robert De Niro and Jerry Lewis in it.
I know exactly. Well, okay, for a second I did, but now I'm not so sure.
Sandra Bernhardt.
Oh.
She was also in Roseanne, because Roseanne was a strong proponent of LGBTQ people. And so she incorporated Sandra Bernhardt into the show. Her mother turned out to be gay in the show. And so really, even though she's not a lesbian, Roseanne Barr deserves some credit for her public support of this. But Sandra Bernhardt's where I was going with this. Sandra Bernhardt, you know, obviously huge character in Roseanne, but I have a soft spot for her in my heart because of The King of Comedy, the Scorsese film I was talking about, because I have this weird little niche love for lesser known Scorsese films. So like King of Comedy and After Hours are among my favorite Scorsese
films.
See,
I thought you were going to go with Patricia Arquette.
Is she a lesbian?
Yeah, Patricia is, not Rosanna.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Well, hell, add her to my list because True Romance is an awesome fucking movie.
Yeah.
Hell, I used to have a crush on her. I guess that never would have happened, would it? Well, I have a penis, Carl. She's apparently not into them.
So, yeah, I know. But I've had crushes on lesbians for a long time. I'll tell you a true story when it comes my way.
Well, I can't think of her name. She's from Saturday Night Live. She was in the new Ghostbusters remake that everybody hated, and she was in The Spy Who Dumped Me. I can't think of her name. I have a crush on her, and then somebody told me she was also not into dick. And I was like, well, that's sad, because that fantasy that wasn't going to happen is not going to happen, but oh well, I guess I'll sleep okay tonight anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, I really wish I could think of her name, but...
But Sandra Bernhardt was in. What was the name of the film, Chrissy, with Hudson Hawk? Hudson Hawk.
Oh, you know what? That is a really good movie. Fuck everybody that hates it. That's a good fucking movie.
I love her in that with Richard E. Grant. Oh, my God.
Dude, that whole movie is good. It's a good movie. this is another movie on my list of the whole movies. Like, movies are great, people are just shitty. You know, I'm going to piss you off, Carl. That's a great unloved movie, just like Batman and Robin is a great unloved movie. So go digest that.
Okay.
Let me know when you're done crying.
I just took some Tylenol, so I'm okay.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to hurt your feelings. It didn't work.
She's a good choice.
Yeah.
She's a good choice. And the thing I like about her, she's unapologetic.
Yes. She's bold. She's in your face.
She doesn't care what you think. And I like that in a woman.
Well, you know, when you embody a thing that pretty much runs counter to everything that society tells you is right, you kind of have to not give a shit. I mean, think of me. I walk outside of my house every day wearing women's blouses, a big pink and purple purse, and eye makeup, and I have some fabulous Elton John sunglasses. You have to not give a shit at some point. And I live in the South.
Yeah.
I have to leave the house knowing I might get my ass kicked every day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to not give a shit. Now, there are plenty of people that do, for whatever reason. I'm not criticizing them, because some people have to keep it fucking quiet. Job, family, whatever. But there have to be those people that don't give a shit. Otherwise, society doesn't change. And that otherwise, we don't have shows like we're having right now. Because the show we're having right now is basically a show about gay women that didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, is that not what this theme boils down to? Yeah.
Yeah. More or less.
That's what it boils down to.
More or less. Okay, Doc, we're going to kick it over to you.
Yes,
I might blow you guys you two away for this one. Sorry about that, Chrissy. I'm still getting not at my best at the moment.
It's,
so I
it's fine. I'm not Gwyneth Paltrow about my gluten. It's okay.
Well, back when I was younger, and my father was still among the living, we had many odd books around the house. A lot of them were art books. And of course, we always had National Geographic, and like we had this massive area full of just National Geographic books. And I saw a woman who did a lot of self portraits. Some of them were kind of creepy, and I shouldn't say creepy, but they were different. They were something you wouldn't expect. And I really began to like this woman's art style, and we actually had a book of her artwork, and I went through it, and I was just really amazed by the way that she presented herself and the world, and how she showed things like sexuality, beauty, pain, and it was mostly through like self-portraits, like I was saying. I'm talking about Frida Kahlo. I hope everybody has heard of Frida. She did a lot with Mexican indigenous culture, and she was also married to Diego Rivera. And Frida was known to have affairs with both men and women, including Josephine Baker and Leon Trotsky, believe it or not. And her art is just, it's very colorful. It's very striking, and it's very unique. There's a sense of realism to it when you actually see a portrait of her, but the backgrounds and theirs are just different. It's almost like a Salvador Dali in some areas. And her paintings and everything are just absolutely wonderful. And you know it's a Frida painting because it's a woman with a monobrow. I know that I'm not trying to be mean, but that way you knew that it was her in these paintings. So I wish I could actually show pictures through the phone systems, because her art is just fantastic. I would definitely have to say Frida would. Go ahead.
Have you ever seen the movie Frida?
I have heard of it. Seen the movie.
Because that's a wonderful film, I can't think of her name right now, but was produced about her life, and she's very, very good in it. But it's a good film, very much a revered figure right now, years after her death. Unfortunately, during her life, she was overshadowed by Diego. But these days, her art has just become such a wonderful touchstone. And of course, you know, we are talking about, you know, LGBTQ women, and she certainly was that too. So yeah, really good choice. Chrissy, you have anything to say about Frida Kahlo?
No, I think you all have pretty much covered that fairly well.
Okay, good. I'm going to go off on a tangent here.
All right. That never happens.
Okay, that never happens. No. So, I am going to dedicate this show to someone that I know, and I'll use the name Arlene. I ran a music store, my family's music store, in the 70s, and I worked there while I was in high school. And there was this young woman who had just gotten a job, and you should know where this is, Doc, since you're in the area. She got a job in Shingle House, PA.
Yep, I know that. Yep.
Okay, which is this little podunk town, and our store, you know, we went there every week. We got to know her. She'd come in. And almost immediately, she and I hit it off. Okay, well, I went to New York and came back, and she is now in Olean Schools. And Arlene, I would go up and take care of her, and we just got along so well. And I knew she was gay. I knew she was a lesbian. And so we became so close that we'd go out to bars, just regular bars, not gay bars, and go check out all the women together. And not only that, we got so close that she said to me at one time, you know, if you were a woman or I were straight, we would have gotten married. And that, isn't that funny? She was a really talented choral director. Now she's in the Finger Lakes area. She's still teaching. And the one
doesn't
thing
Finger
that
Lakes
she
sound like
to
a
do,
lesbian euphemism? I'm sorry, doesn't Finger Lakes sound like a lesbian euphemism? Seriously?
Well,
that's all
maybe that should be Finger Puddles. Okay.
Finger Puddle, that's better. Please continue, Carl.
Yeah. So, well, it's funny because that leads into the final bit. So, Arlene, I was the only one that was allowed to tell her bad jokes. And she bought a house. She lives in Ithaca now. And she just bought the house, and she was still getting her music from me, even though I didn't get up there that often. And so she called in for an order. I couldn't talk to her right then, so I called her back on her message machine. And I said to her, "Hey, Arlene, did you hear about the two lesbian carpenters that built a house? There were no studs. Oh, it was all tongue and groove. There were no studs in it."
Wow.
Okay, the upshot.
God damn.
The upshot of that joke is within a year, she had redone her house all in tongue and groove. I kid you not. And so when I first thought of this show, and I was talking a little bit earlier about Janice Ian, you know, it's all the, you know, the first title of this show was All the Lesbians I've Loved in My Life. And this one is for Arlene because I truly do love her. Very, very much. And she was a major, major influence on me and making me understand the LGBT community and my part in it as a ally and her part And of course, at that point, I had spoken to many, many gay men, but I've never really understood the women's point of view being lesbian. And she taught me that.
It's a little more niche.
Yeah, it is.
A little more niche.
And I'll tell you what, she really, really did change me for the better. And for that alone, I have to dedicate this show to Arlene. Go ahead, Chris.
Can I? No. It's weird you said that because I just have to jump in. I have a slight tangent here. I'm going to spring right off something you said. You were say that thing again about if you were a lesbian and I was, or that. Say that again.
Okay. So what she told me is if you were a woman. Or I were straight, we would have gotten married.
Okay. This is my tangent. It'll be quick. This makes me think of a thing that's happened to me recently. I've always said that I would have to connect with somebody weird, just because I am who I am. I'm not gonna click with just anybody as far as romantically. Okay. I've been talking to somebody online who is ended up being the yin to my yang, in a way. Okay, I am a lesbian trapped in a man's body. This person is basically, they identify as bi, but for the sake of my illustration, they're basically a gay person trapped in a woman's body. And it's really weird. Like, so they're gender fluid. They identify more as male. I'm gender fluid. I identify more as female. So they have a girlfriend in me, and I have a boyfriend in them. So basically, you have a lesbian and a gay man dating each other.
Very good.
Interesting.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. That's it. Yes. I just thought it was fun. You know, nothing major there. The world's not about me, but I thought it was interesting anyway. So,
you know, if the happiness and love is there and, you know, everything lines up, and it's great. It's fantastic.
The only thing
you know,
is not lining up
yet.
Well,
you're a hell of a lot luckier than me, Chrissy. But that's okay.
Well, let me throw this in. The only thing that's not lining up yet, because money hasn't been saved, the only thing that's not lining up yet is there in the Netherlands, and I'm here.
Yeah.
But that will be fixed because we're going to meet. This is not going to not happen. So, okay. Anyway, I'm not trying to, like, take the show over and make it the Chrissy show. I just, you know, it seemed to fit in the context. Okay.
No, it does. It does.
Yeah. My ego is satisfied.
So, Chrissy, you got one more for us?
Yes. I am going to steal the one that Doc handed to me, Patricia Arquette. I had no idea. I like Patricia Arquette quite a bit. She is in one of my favorite films. I love the movie True Romance. I have seen that movie a bazillion times. In fact, my boyfriend, Fetter, a couple of times have thrown a line from True Romance at them. They didn't know it. I'd explain the context, which means obviously I have some cinematic correction to be done here when I make it to Holland. But I threw the line at them, "You're so cool." Which is a very small, seemingly throwaway line, but in the context of that movie, which is about True Romance, that's a romance film. I don't care how violent that film is. I don't care that it's written by Tarantino with some dusting up and polishing off by Tony Scott. That's a romance film. And when she says, "You're so cool," that is like the ultimate statement of "I love you."
Nice.
And that, Patricia Arquette is a strong, sexy woman, period. I think she's awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
I've been a fan of her ever since that movie. I've been like it's Patricia Arquette. Even if I don't watch what she's in, I'm like, that's Patricia Arquette. You don't know who that is? I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you about True Romance. It's a movie that she's in. No, yeah. Plus, I like Christian Slater, too, so it was just like, you know?
Yep.
There's been a lot.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of people.
Go ahead, Doc.
There's been an awful lot of people who have been talking about True Romance lately. Seriously, it's been like it's making another comeback through Facebook, so that's pretty cool. So,
it's one of my favorite films. That's one of the greatest movies
it.
Ever made. You've never seen True Romance?
Look who you're talking to. I'm like the monster fiend here.
Yeah.
I don't do romance.
I am getting my katana out to commit ritual seppuku right now because you've disgraced me by saying those words. Holy shit. Okay. Go watch that film, but and it's not expensive, so I don't want to hear any shit from you about this. Go find the director's cut, and you obtain it, and you watch it, and then you report back to me. And until then, I don't want any guff.
I wasn't going to say it's bad. I just haven't watched it.
No, no, I didn't say you. I just meant guff generally. I just meant I want no shit out of you. Like, you have to do what I say and go do that. That's all I meant. I didn't mean guff about the film. I didn't mean guff generally.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Sorry.
I've done that on ISS with David Whittington too. Like you know, this is your assignment. You must watch this.
You know,
it's funny. ISF. Hold on. ISF, which is Incredibly Strange Films, which is a large group, a Facebook group that I admin. Do you know we're averaging three? Right now, I don't know what it is, but we're averaging 2 to 3 true romance pending posts a day right now.
Which is odd, because as great a film as that is not that strange.
No, but just that people, I don't know, maybe it was shown on TCM or something. I don't know.
Or maybe somebody posted it and 20 other people saw it and thought that was a good idea. Who knows? And as you, brought,
yeah,
as you say, maybe it's
too,
on...
You know.
Anywhere on cable. Now, can I throw in another quick tangent about ISF since you brought it up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. One of my best friends, Phoebe, my co-host, one of my co-hosts. Okay. I met my toxic ex-girlfriend, Becky. Because of her, I was watching a really weird movie that I posted about in Incredibly Strange Films. Because of that post, somebody commented on it. I responded to their comment. Turned out they lived less than or about a half hour away from me, and we're talking about ISF, which is a group of about 50,000 people from all over the globe. Because
right,
of try that
150,000. Try 150,000.
Okay, it's grown now. Okay, because of that person that I met on my post on ISF that lives 30 minutes from me, because of that person, I discovered my gender fluidity. Because of that, I joined a group on Facebook about gender fluidity. In that group, I met my boyfriend. So you actually are, in a few degrees away from Kevin Bacon kind of way, related to all this. So, there you go. I mean, I don't know what
the
difference you want to attribute to that, but there you go.
I am your crazy
uncle.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
As long as you're not the perverted uncle. You're not the perverted uncle, are you? Just the crazy uncle?
No, I'm the crazy one. I'm the crazy uncle.
Okay, just the – okay. All right. Hence the tinfoil biker helmet. Or bike helmet, not like a bicycle helmet.
Yeah,
you don't get a bike helmet. That's just silly.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done being an attention whore.
Okay.
All right, Doc. We're going to go one more round before we call it a night. So, Doc, you got one more for us?
Yes, I do. I'm actually very surprised that nobody has – well, that we haven't talked about her yet, actually. I would like to talk about Sally Ride.
Nice.
Okay,
nice.
There we go. Sally Ride, she is a physicist and an astronaut, and she was the first American woman in space. Now, that is awesome to me. Basically, this her story of becoming an astronaut is really kind of just, you never expect it. She was a physics student at Stanford, and she answered a newspaper article ad for a female astronaut and became one of 6 women picked. She flew in the space shuttle in 1983, and in 1984, she controlled the robotic arm of the space shuttle and deployed a satellite. Now, that's cool. Now, after she left NASA, she taught at the University of California, and upon her death in 2012, unfortunately, she passed recently. It would have been nice if we were actually able to interview her someday, but anyway. She had been in a relationship with a woman, Tam O'Shaughnessy, for 27 years. And nobody knew about that relationship until her obituary came out in 2012. So, she's the first American woman in space. How do you like that? She is seriously an epic ass kicking woman. That is for sure.
Yes, you have. She's an amazing woman in so many ways. And being the first female astronaut and breaking that boundary was just an amazing thing. And I, you know, the name's certainly familiar to everyone, or should be, but unless you grew up in that era, you don't know how much of an impact Sally Ride had. You know, being that first, and anytime you're first, you know, you're going to get accolades. But she deserves.
Well, I mean, that's far enough back that. That's far enough back that, you know, like the gays were still just being made fun of, and feminism was still like a new thing that got mocked on a regular basis, as opposed to the way it is now, when that never happens. You know, I mean, that was a big deal. I mean, well, they're sending someone into space has a vagina. Holy shit!
Yeah. Yeah, and of course the thing there is capability. You know, that women were capable of doing what men can't, and they always are.
Right.
I mean,
like, holy shit! Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
And the part that just knocks me on off my seat is that she answered a newspaper ad and became an astronaut, the first female astronaut in space from America, because of a newspaper ad.
That, you know, you realize
that.
Have spacesuit will travel. It's basically the plot of that, except instead of a soap ad contest and going to another planet, it was Sally Ride answering a newspaper contest and going to space. But that's like a Heinlein plot, which makes sense because he was pretty progressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I do have to make a comment here. She is not the first female in space.
She wasn't?
American female. No. First American female.
The first American female.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But there was a Russian woman, and I cannot think of her name. If anyone knows, let me know.
Well, I know
she was
distraction when Doc is dead.
She was actually on, I think, the third Sputnik. Like in the mid-60s, like 63, 64, somewhere like that.
That is some vintage cosmonautical history I did not have.
Yeah. Yeah, but there was a Russian woman in space first. So just wanted to make that clear, that we do know the history, even though I don't know her name. So forgive me.
Right. We're not entirely stupid.
No. A little dense, maybe I am, but no.
Well, I have my moments too. It's okay. As great as I am.
So I need to talk about somebody.
Okay.
And I need, because we're talking about first here,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's talk about the first American trans woman. Do you know who I'm talking about, Chrissy?
No, I don't. Again,
Christine,
I knew my own
Jorgensen.
Year, so.
Christine Jorgensen.
Right. I fucking knew that if I hadn't been actually asked the question and required the information to be extracted from my inner computer storage. Yes, Christine Jorgensen. That's right. That was a big fucking deal back in the day.
Oh, yeah. When she was male and born, she was born George William Jorgensen Jr., grew up in the Belmont neighborhood of Bronx, New York, graduated from high school and drafted into the Army at 19. After being discharged from the Army, at that point it's still a he attended Mohawk Valley Community College in Utica.
Very cool.
Yes.
Sorry.
And returning to New York after military service, and increasingly concerned over a lack of male physical development, she heard about sex reassignment surgery. She began taking estrogen in the form of whatever that is, and then Dr. Joseph Angelo got her to go to Sweden for the reassignment. And, I mean, this was huge. So this is in the 50s. 1952. Okay? The amount of press and everything
was huge. And it was a freak show, of course. And Christine, you know, survived all this and lived her life the way she wanted to live. Now, I have a question for the two of you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what movie or movie is based on her life?
I was about to ask. I remember a film being made about her, but I cannot for the life of me call the titles on my mind.
Well, how about the Christine Jorgensen story?
Well, fuck you for asking that question, you trick question asking
motherfucker. But
yep,
that's
I remember
not
that
the
now.
Most famous one. You know what movie was really about her?
Well, it's not a Jorgensen film, I'm pretty sure, so enlighten me.
Okay, Doc says he knows.
I don't what? Remember.
You actually know this one, Chrissy. I know you do.
Glenn or Glenda?
Glenn or Glenda. Yes, by Ed Wood.
Yes.
Oh, so they tamed down the sex change to just cross-dressing.
Right.
Yes.
Which is a milder version of transgender. Because cross-dressing
right.
is generally
reason,
indicative of some sort
that.
Of gender fluidity. Right.
They wanted to make a movie at the time, but they couldn't make the movie.
Yeah.
So Ed Wood comes in, of course, with his cross-dressing and that sort of thing. I can make this movie. And, of course, we get Glenn or Glenda, which, you know, for as batshit his movies are, this one actually is really, really emotional. And I think
well,
he
I mean,
tried
this was
to
coming from a sincere place.
Possible. What?
I mean, it was a personal film, wasn't it? I mean, this was his most personal piece. This was coming from
yes.
inside him. And this is one of those cases where sometimes a work of, I'm going to be really amazingly fucking kind to say a work of art, bad art maybe, but art because the sincerity was there. Sometimes a thing is more important for its place in culture or its cultural significance than for the actual work itself. For example, and I don't know, I've not read the book myself, but the closest example I have to hand is my dad telling me that he once read Uncle Tom's Cabin, which he thought as a novel was very poorly written, but clearly has incredible cultural significance. So I think Ed Wood falls into that category in this case of like, you didn't mean to, but thanks. I mean, you know, I mean, Harriet Tubman meant to, or she meant to, but you know, Beecher Stowe. It's not Harriet Tubman. Harriet Beecher Stowe. Jesus titty fucking Christ. Wow. Okay. I'm there.
So I want to go into her later life because because it's important to understand what Christine went through. Okay? So I want you to listen to this. After she had her vaginoplasty, Jorgensen planned to marry labor union statistician John Traub, but the engagement was called off. Then she announced her engagement to Howard J. Mox, but they couldn't get married because the marriage license, because Jorgensen's birth certificate listed her as male.
Said she was a male. Which Trump is trying to reinforce now. Yay.
Yes, I know. I know, and this is why I bring this up. In 1967, Jorgensen moved to California. She left behind a ranch home and so on and so forth during the 70s and 80s. She toured university campuses and other venues to speak about her experiences. She once demanded an apology from Vice President Spiro Agnew when he called Charles Goodell the Christine Jorgensen of the Republican Party. And of course,
wow.
Yes. Oof. And Agnew refused
damn.
Her request. She also worked as an actress and nightclub entertainer and recorded several songs. Summer Stock, she played Madame Rose Petal in the play Oh Dad, Poor Dad, Mama's Hung You in the Closet and I'm Feeling So Sad. That's a great play, by the way.
Woo!
She later recalls that Warner Communications, owners of the Wonder Woman character's copyright, demanded she stop using the character. She did so and instead used a new character of her own invention, Superwoman, who was marked by the inclusion of a large letter S on her cape. This is during her supper club room. Okay?
Nice.
She said in 1989, the year of her death, that she had given the sexual revolution a good swift kick in the pants. She died of bladder and lung cancer 4 weeks later, short of her 63rd birthday. And just an amazing, amazing person, an amazing woman. And as a transgender spokesperson and public figure, Jorgensen influenced other transgender people to change their sex on birth certificates and to change their names. Jorgensen's case was also significant for the first time and led to complications over sex and science and the changing definition of sexuality and gender fluidity. There you go.
Well, now we're at a point where people, and we generally officially recognize from a psychological and a scientific standpoint that there is a difference between sex, as in what's between your legs, and gender.
Right.
Because gender is, to a great degree, a social construct that is predicated on what you have between your legs. But
right.
That doesn't work because, you know what? I relate more to the female mind than the male mind. I get along better with women as lovers and as friends than I do men, as a rule. I like romantic comedies and I like romance novels, and I'll take Twilight over Harry Potter any fucking day. So, yeah, binary and go to hell. Okay, rant done.
So you got, I know you have to leave us a little early, Chrissy, so you got time for one more?
I have time for one more, and again, it's going to come from the entertainment field, but again, you know, that's kind of my little specialty. I'm not going to say that I'm necessarily a huge fan of her, but I think she is an incredible actress. And again, she's kind of the new generation in being a spokesperson for this, not necessarily going out and being a spokesperson, the megaphone, but just presenting this, being openly this way. Oh my God, I still have another one too. You know what? I'm going to put them together because I've compared the two. I'm going to say, let's go ahead and put Jodie Foster and Ellen Page both in there because I find a certain spiritual connection between the two of them. You know, Jodie Foster's a lesbian.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
And she's also one of the most amazing fucking actresses that we've ever had.
And so is Ellen Page.
I mean, look at the – right, exactly. And Ellen Page reminds me a lot of a young Jodie Foster. I see a lot of similarities between the two of them. And I guess those are the last two that stand out because, I mean, Jodie Foster is an established actress. I mean, she's been doing amazing stuff. Look at Taxi Driver. She was, what, 12 when she made that?
Yeah.
And you want to talk about a natural performance? Just like, I'm not Jodie Foster. I am a 12-year-old hooker that Robert De Niro wants to save. And then from there on in, she's just been solid performance, solid performance, solid performance, solid performance. You know, and somehow, even though she's not been the most in-your-face type person, because she's very private, she has at the same time come to be a representative in entertainment culture, at least, of... not only a strong woman, but someone who's a lesbian. She's a good representative.
I also have to mention a particular film of hers that I love that nobody else seems to love.
What?
And she doesn't love it either. And that's The Little Girl Who Lived Down the Lane.
That's a brilliant fucking movie.
Yeah.
And that's another comment on context, because some of the material in that film in the wrong context could be really offensive. But when you understand where the film's coming from, because that was in that weird little pocket in the 70s where for a second everyone was okay with shit. Just for a second.
Yeah.
And we could do this, and then it got uptight. You know, that's a great movie. And the thing is, anybody that's offended, because I know the material you're talking about, because Jodie Foster has a very brief nude scene in that. It is also an incredibly innocent scene, especially in the context of the story. There is almost a deliberate lack of sexual awareness to what is happening there. And oh my God, you saw her. Maybe you saw a mosquito bite and a flat ass for 2 seconds.
And by the way, that wasn't her. That was her older sister, but that's okay.
Point being, though, same. Still, it's like,
yeah,
you are guilty, not you, but whoever's criticizing, you are guilty for sexualizing a child.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
you got a hard on when nobody else did. How do you feel about yourself?
Yeah, it's a tough film. It's a tough film. And it's not only
that. You say that, but it's not that. I don't know. Okay.
It is. Let's put it this way. If it was made today, there is no doubt it would be R, at the very least, if not NC-17.
And it wouldn't have that scene, and Jodie Foster's character would probably be 18, and it would be just like the remake of Sam Peckinpah's Straw Dogs. Technically, everything's there, but it's not there.
Right, exactly. I know.
Now,
it could only have been made in the 70s, and I think it's a brilliant film. It is.
Right.
It's brilliant.
It is. It's a great little thriller. And really, you want to talk about the morality of this. When you get to the end of that story, and the movie is a few decades old, so fuck you if you cry spoilers on this. You know, shut your ears for a few minutes if you don't want to hear it. The end of the movie is what? She poisoned a pedophile to death. Now, would you like to explain to me how the movie is pedophilic when its message is kill pedophiles? To oversimplify.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You're missing the point. You have no concept of subtlety. You have no concept of context. None whatsoever.
Okay.
And
so let's move on from the movie. And let's talk a little bit about Ellen Page, because we haven't talked about Ellen either.
Okay. Well, Ellen Page, you know, I'm the right generation, maybe a little older, but I remember when Juno came out. And while that movie does have its issues because the dialogue is a little self-conscious, it's a good movie, and she came out of the gate like, look at me, I can fucking act, I'm fairly natural at it. And I'm actually not Ellen Page's biggest fan. There are times I find her a little abrasive, and I don't know why. I mean, she's not the most likable person in the world. I find her cold and unapproachable, but she's a good actress. And she's one of the people that comes to mind as a famous lesbian, and she's also lucky, I guess, in regards to the fact that she's of a generation where she was able to comfortably come out at her age without as much challenge being there. And I'm not trying to diminish the bravery of saying, hey, I don't like dick. I have a vagina, but I don't want your penis in me. So you can take that and go somewhere else with it. You know, that's great. But I also appreciate the fact that she is the beneficiary of previous generations of people like Jodie Foster, like Ellen DeGeneres, like Christine Jurgensen.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the torchbearer. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would also have to recommend a film of hers that's before Juno, called Hard Candy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Hard Candy. That's still one of the best things she's ever done. The first time you watch that movie, oh, my God. There, you're talking about a series of left turns without the blinker? Holy shit.
Yeah, it's a great film.
And she was so good, and she was the best thing in that. I mean, everything was good, but she was like at the peak of all the talent involved in that movie. I mean, she's a natural.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to give the director some nods. He's a great Canadian director by the name of Bruce Robinson.
It was a lean, one-setting film, but it was a gripping thriller. You were 5 minutes into the film, and you were like, I have to see where this goes. I don't care if Jesus comes back for the next hour and a half. Fucker is going to have to wait until I'm done.
All right. Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on, Chrissy.
Thank you for having me. I've had a blast.
Yeah. Now, Doc, give us some last words. Or anything like that, or tell us what's coming up on DNL or DLN.
Okay, on the Deviant Legion Network here, we have a show coming up tomorrow, which is Mika's show, and she's going to be talking about influential women who were very influential in her life. And then Sunday, we will be hitting up some more Hammer films. We're going to go actually into the monster stuff on Sunday.
Nice.
So that's going to be pretty cool. And Tuesday, I'm still working on Tuesday's show. Well, Tuesday's a little mini review episode. So that's what we're looking for in the Deviant Legion.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chrissy, do you have anything planned or brewing for next Thursday?
Well, I don't have any specific dates for anybody, but I can say that some of the topics that are going to be coming up soon, we're going to revisit Lars von Trier, because there is no way in Jesus Christ or hell that we're going to get through him in one episode like we, you know, we had last night. So we're going to come back to that.
And by the way, I will not be there.
I am quite aware. I'm quite aware. Yeah, just like sure. if I had a We Love Ruggiero Deodato show, you would not be there for that either. That's not going to happen.
No.
But hypothetically speaking, you wouldn't be there. I know we plan on doing a show on extreme metal soon. I have a friend here locally. I first met him. He was wearing a jacket with a death metal band on the back of it. And I'm like, we have to be friends. We have to talk. So that's going to happen. And I also plan on diving into some meatier topics. I want to talk about euthanasia. I want to talk about abortion. And I plan on revisiting the gender fluidity thing. And I'm probably going to surprise everybody with this, because this has been entirely inside my own head. There is the possibility that Wait, What Are We Talking About?, which is my current show, may go on hiatus in favor of a format reinvention, but that's not immediate. But just to pique your interest.
Yeah, you know, off topic, you need to go through that with me and just tell me what's going on.
Oh,
but that's cool.
It's not immediate. It's not. That's just bringing my head. I'm piquing your interest. I'm keeping you intrigued. It's not happening now.
Yeah, for next Friday, a week from today, I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do, but I'm going to keep, since this is Women's Month, we're going to be working on that, and I'm thinking of either women authors or women directors, film directors. So I haven't made a definite decision on that.
You should let me know
that's
when you
what
come
we're
to a
conclusion
on that. Let me know, because I would like to be involved – at least as a call-in for part of the time on that, if I can.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
In fact,
I want to thank everyone. Oh yeah, yeah. We'll get into that. I think one will be women's directors, and then the last Friday will be authors. I'm not sure about that, but that I can tell you that that's what the next two shows will be. So anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening tonight, and you know, we want to really raise a glass and toast all those women of the LGBT community for making our lives better, for making
yes,
our lives
absolutely
more inclusive, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, there are so many we didn't mention, and the other thing is, you don't have to be famous. Just shine a light for everyone in your own sphere, and you will have done your job to make
us
better.
On that note, can I say
better?
Can I say hi to Nancy Ryburn? She was my general psychology
absolutely
teacher, and she's part of the community, and she's an awesome person. And just you may never listen to Nancy, but just in case you do, hi.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next week in the cavern. All right. Take
thank
us
you
out, Doc. Thank you very much, guys. Say good night.
Good night,
good
Chrissy.
Night, everybody. And good night, Chrissy.
Good night, Chrissy.
Good night.